Well, good evening, listeners, and welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling, broadcasting here on the Planet FM, out of the Planet FM studios in Auckland on a Wednesday evening. And that was a Holy Night sung there by Eimear Quinn, along with the RTE Symphony Orchestra. I was listening to that on the way in tonight, and I thought it'd be a nice song to open the programme. So welcome along. The programme you're listening to brought to you with support of the Hugh Green Group, and you're listening to us in Auckland on Wednesday, Christchurch on Saturday, and Cavity Coast, Wellington on Sunday evening. And as I said, the programme brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. This is the last live programme for 2018. Over the next 2 weeks, I've recorded programmes that you will hear, and I'll be back again early in the new year, I think into the 31st year of broadcasting in New Zealand. You know, we'll keep the show on the road for another one. And, apologies, last week there was a technical glitch, so the Christmas program I had recorded should have been going out tonight, but it went out last week, and I started off the program last week paying tribute to a lovely lady in the Irish community in Auckland who passed away, Maggie Dornan, and his funeral took place last Thursday. One of Maggie's favourite artists was Daniel O'Donnell, and one of her favourite songs was the song called Maggie. So we'll play that now in memory of Maggie Dornan, and indeed her late husband Jimmy, and her sister Kath Dornan, and her husband Owen, well known families in the Irish community in Auckland. So we'll get this song off and play it for you, and then we'll come back and give you a bit of news from Ireland.
I wander today to the hills, Maggie, to watch the scene
Yes, Daniel O'Donnell there, and Maggie, and that's going out to the family and friends of the late Maggie Doran, who passed away and was laid to rest last Thursday. And she was, what do you call it, a great fan of Daniel O'Donnell, and in the picture tribute that was shown during the ceremony last week, there was a few nice pictures of Maggie with Daniel on his many visits here to New Zealand. Well, then you're listening to Ireland Calling, as I said, our last live programme before the end of before Christmas. But the show will be keeping on the road here over the next few weeks. I've got recorded two programmes that will go out next week and the week after. And you'll be able to enjoy those programmes. A little less talk from me and more music over the next 2 weeks. And hard to believe the year has gone by so quickly. And I know it'll be... some people will have a great year, some people not so good if loved ones passed away. And I'm sure there's the odd person listening tonight that might be heading home either for Christmas or the New Year. So anybody that's travelling, safe travelling, and enjoy your time back in Ireland. This time last year I was on my way home, and first Christmas back for many years, but it was great to get back there. And Christmas Eve in Shop Street in Galway, and then New Year's Eve up in Grafton Street and in Dublin, and the weather was pretty good. So it was great to get back. Well, the big story that's dominated the news in Ireland over the last few days has been the eviction of two brothers and a sister from their home in Strokestown in County Roscommon. This all started last Tuesday when, on the order of the High Court, a bank in Ireland, KBC Bank, moved to evict two brothers and a sister. Obviously, only one of the brothers was involved in the financial dealings, but he obviously owned the house, and the house and 30 acres of the land was going to be repossessed. The repossession agents certainly didn't go down too well with some of the locals that were there to support this family, and scenes of pushing and shoving and dragging people soon spread across the internet. So that spread later in the week, and local politician Michael Fitzmaurice highlighted it in the Doyle on Friday and said that you know, this shouldn't happen. Banks should negotiate and renegotiate and try to find a solution so that people aren't evicted, because the scenes that showed up on Facebook and TV were reminiscent of what happened nearly 200 years ago in Ireland, and especially in the west of Ireland, where landlords kicked farmers off their lands. Well, that all happened during the week. Then in the early hours of Sunday morning, news broke on Irish radio that a group of thugs, for want of a better word, descended on this house that was being protected by security people. There was about six security people and two dogs. They were supposedly from Northern Ireland. And this gang of people turned up in a cattle truck. They blocked the roads leading into the farmyard, and they attacked with baseball bats the security men. Three of them ended up in hospital. They attacked the dog that had to be put down, and they burned four transit vans and a BMW car, and damaged the house, and then fled across the field and then made their escape. Most people believe they've come down from the north, that they're dissident Republicans, and that they were obviously tipped off about this by a Sinn Féin or a IRA supporter not far from Strokestown, and Gardaí are investigating. But the government are absolutely livid over the treatment of the security people and what happened on Saturday night. The headline on Tuesday's Irish Independent said vigilante justice replaces the law, and the Minister for Justice and indeed the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, came out in no uncertain terms on Tuesday in the Doyle, and basically called out Sinn Féin, who were complaining about the original eviction, which certainly wasn't good. But in four dispatches from Pierce Doherty over the last few days, he didn't mention anything about the terrible violence that went on Saturday night. And in his closing remarks, the Taoiseach basically said that the balaclavas fell off, and Sinn Féin was shown for what it is, to be a party of thugs. And he was implying that some of these people were, in fact, I suppose, INLA or IRA supporters that obviously come down, and where there's evictions taking place, try to take the law into their own hands. So it'd be interesting. I think that a brother and sister were supposed to have moved back to the house last night, but they were breaching a court order, so a local guard nicely told them to make sure they get a good solicitor and work through what can happen. So that's a story that's dominated the news in Ireland, and pretty sad to see somebody being dragged out of their family home for over 50 years on the foot of a court order. But unfortunately, the one of the owners or one of the members of the family had huge exposure to a bank, had to have settlement with the IRD for non-payment of tax, and there was non-payment of a lease on a motor vehicle as well. So if you haven't got your house in order, you're going to end up in trouble. Right, last week I mentioned the winners of the Cool Swan competition, and hopefully the bottles are winding their way to Cheryl Hurley in Whangaparoa, to Colleen Talty in Wellington, and Kathleen Lawler in Canterbury. And the answer to the question was, where was Cool Swan manufactured? And it is in Ballyborough in County Cavan. Right, we'll take a couple of songs here from the west of Ireland. We'll start with the Fields of Athenry. And I suppose this has got connotations with what I was just talking about there. And then we'll have Galway Bay.
By a lonely prison wall, I heard a young girl calling. Michael, they have taken you. Stole Trevelyan's corn, so the young might see the morn. Now a prison ship lying in the bay. Once
Yes, well, a treat there for everybody from Galway. There was Galway Bay, sung by Dolores Keane, and before that we had The Fields of Athenry, sung by Paddy Riley. If you've tuned in, you're listening to Ireland Calling, which is brought to you here each week with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And as I said, this is our last live programme before Christmas, but Ireland Calling will be continuing on air over the next few weeks before I'm back with a first programme in the first week in January. So tune in as normal if you're listening in Auckland on a Wednesday night, or Wellington on a Sunday night, and Christchurch on a Saturday night. And greetings to people around New Zealand and indeed around the world that tune into us on Ireland Calling through the planetaudio.org.nz online service. And greetings to people. I know there's people listening in Ireland, there's people listening in Birmingham and in Holland. So Christmas greetings goes out to everybody that's tuned in to this programme that's been on air now since August 1990, when the first programme began to broadcast. Looking back at the year, I suppose one of the highlights from the sporting point of view was the fact that Ireland rugby had a great season, and to top that off, Johnny Sexton was voted the RTE Sportsman of the Year on last Sunday night. The Irish ladies hockey team, who got to the World Cup final and got a silver medal, beaten by Holland in the final, they were the team of the year. And, of course, a great year for Limerick hurlers, with Limerick winning the All-Ireland Hurling Final for the first time. Beat my own county, Galway, in the final, first 1973. And it's the drive for five now, Dublin, four in a row, and they're taking on, obviously starting the new year with the hope that they'll win five titles in a row. And well done to the footballers of Dublin and Meath, who played in a challenge match in Navan last Sunday. Back in April, you remember I mentioned about a Liverpool fan, Sean Cox from County Meath, who went over to see Liverpool playing AC Roma at the game that was being played in Liverpool. And he was just outside a pub minding his own business with his brother or brother-in-law when a couple of Roma fans passed by. And one of them, unprovoked, hit Sean Cox, knocked him to the ground, and he was seriously injured. So he's making very slow progress, but I see that through publicity and various events, and I think the Liverpool club and the Roma club give big donations. Over €1 million euro has been raised so far. And I know last Sunday there was about 5,000 or 6,000 people turned up to see Dublin play Meath in a challenge match, and Meath won that. So officially that's Dublin's first loss in many, many years. In fact, I think they were beaten in the league match earlier this year. But certainly when it comes to the championship next year, it'll be a different story. And of course, big year next year for Irish rugby with the World Cup, and Joe Schmidt's last year in charge of the Irish team. And they'll kick off the Six Nations in early February against England. But last weekend you had the Heineken Cup matches. Surprise defeat for Munster, but they still have got a great chance of advancing to the next round. Leinster certainly too strong, and they're top in their group, and Ulster look like they've got a great chance of qualifying as well for the next round, as have Connacht in their Challenge Cup competition. But bad news for Ulster, Ian Henderson, and indeed Ireland, broke a thumb on Friday night, and it looks like he's going to be out for 10 weeks as a result of an operation that he had yesterday. Well, the year started off with the sad news, pretty much at the end of January, that Dolores O'Riordan from the Cranberries passed away. But this is one of her great songs, Dreams. Yes, that's Dolores Reardon there, the late Dolores Reardon and the Cranberries and Dreams, which obviously was one of their signature tunes. And Dolores passed away earlier this year in March, or in end of January. She died while working on a new album in London, was found dead in a bath. She obviously had been drinking and went and had a bath and just accidentally drowned. So huge outpouring of sympathy to her, and indeed to the rest of the band members. They certainly were a very popular band in the late 80s and 90s, selling over 40 million CDs. You're listening to Ireland Calling, broadcasting out of the Planet of M studio in Auckland on a Wednesday night, Access Radio Wellington, Capity Coast Radio on Sunday night, and Plains of M in Christchurch on Saturday night program. You're listening to, brought to you by the support of the Hugh Green Group, and a lot of articles in the papers, lots of big ads in all the Irish papers pushing people to buy home-produced products for Christmas. And of course, a very busy time of the year for farmers that are supplying turkeys to the market, turkeys and geese. And indeed, there's a big feature in the Farm Independent in yesterday's paper of a farmer up in North Dublin, in Garristown, Andrew Fitzpatrick. He's pictured hand-picking Brussels sprouts. Looks like a cold old day, but he's been harvesting Brussels sprouts for over 42 years. And then there's a picture of Billy Gray. He rears 5,500 free-range turkeys and 400 geese in his farm in Rathangan in County Kildare, all for the market. Certainly, we used to have geese when we were young, and then latterly moved on to turkeys. But there's nothing like having a Christmas dinner on a cold, crisp, frosty day in Ireland, and just relaxing. The other thing we used to have, we used to love the glass of Sidona, you know, which is like apple juice. But certainly Bulmer's, I think it was Bulmer's Sidona, certainly was a treat when we were growing up. And then, you know, the Christmas pudding and custard and stuff like that. And then the big tradition on the day after Christmas Day was St. Stephen's Day, the day that we went out and collected money and sang and made a few money. The St. Stephen's Day or Boxing Day, we went out and dressed up as Wren boys and Wren girls, and it was certainly a time that you went out and managed to make a few pound. Those traditions are still going in some parts of the west of Ireland, but Wren boys on the 26th, and of course the Bree Jogues on the eve of the 1st of March. But many traditions like that dying out. I was just talking to somebody recently, and the advent of the internet and indeed the mobile phone and everything has brought the world closer together. But it's got plenty of advantages, but lots of disadvantages as well. Righto, we'll move on with another song, and a song that we learned at school.
Had gathered outside of Kilmainham, with their heads all uncovered, they knelt on the ground. For inside that good prison lay a brave Irish soldier, his life for his country about to lay down. He went to his death like a true son of land, and the firing party he bravely did face. When the order rang out, present our James Connolly fell into a ready-made grave. Many years have gone by since the Irish Rebellion, when the guns of Britannia they loudly did speak, and the bold IRA they stood shoulder to shoulder as the blood from their bodies flowed down Sackville Street. The four corps of Dublin, the British bombarded, and the spirit for freedom they tried hard to quell. But above all that dim came the cry, no surrender. 'Twas the voice of James Connolly, the Irish Rebel.
Yes, that song we learned when we were at primary school, and of course things have moved on a lot from then, but have they? We'll just have to wait and see. Obviously the Brexit issue is still dominating the news in Ireland, and you know, no progress has been made really since the last week. No vote will take place in the House of Commons before the middle of January. And the European Union, 27 members have stated that there's absolutely no negotiation on the deal that was signed in late November with the Theresa May and her negotiating team. So tough times ahead for Theresa May to try to get this through the British Parliament. And you know, if it goes to a second referendum, there's people saying if there's a second referendum held and the yes to remain people win, then the no or the leavers will want a third referendum. So it's certainly a huge mess at the moment, and you know, hopefully things will resolve somewhat in the new year. But certainly a lot to happen over the next few weeks before England leaves the European Union at the end of March next year. Right, what has been happening? I see here that services face cut due to 1.4 billion hospital. National Children's Hospital costs spiral amid a warning from Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. New hospital services and projects could be cancelled or significantly delayed as a direct result of the runaway 1.4 billion cost of the National Children's Hospital. And the other thing that ran away with costs, and it was only uncovered on the Freedom of Information Act late last week, the Irish Examiner discovered that the cost overruns to the redevelopment of Porky Cueve in Cork went over by about 50 million instead of costing the cost near 30 million. So this was one of the stadiums that was going to be used as part of Ireland's bid when they put the bid in last year to host the Rugby World Cup in 2023. And we know that the our group that was out there evaluating various stadiums, one of the things they said that the lack of fast broadband around Corky Cueve was a disadvantage to the media that would be there covering the event. But of course that could have been rectified. The stadium of course was opened this year. It was delayed of course because of building overruns or obviously delay in getting it finished. And then there was a huge debate over Corky Cueve being used by the organisers of a tribute game to raise money for the late Liam Miller. Thankfully the GAA relented and let the stadium be used, and there was a great event held in September. But the GAA now have taken over the complete control of the stadium, the board of Cork business people that were in charge, because the stadium is insolvent, have basically vacated their positions. So big worry there how the costs spiralled out so much from what was, you know, the original price. Right, we'll move on. And I suppose only appropriate that we play this song. Everybody else is playing it. The Pogues, The Fairy Tale of New York City.
It was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank, an old man's
Christmas Day.
Well, if you're going back to Ireland and you're in Irish pubs or pubs, I'm sure on the West Coast over the holiday period, you'll come across plenty of sessions like that, Drowsy Maggie. And up next, we're going to have a song from Big Tom, all about the four roads to Glenamaddy. Of course, a sad year for Big Tom fans because early in the year, his beloved wife Rose passed away in late January, early February, and his heart was broken. And obviously, within a few months, he passed away, and 15,000 people attended his funeral. Terrible sadness all over North Dublin on Saturday morning when news broke that the body of a fully formed baby was found on a beach in Balbriggan. and Gardaí are appealing for the mother to come forward. The baby had gone full term, but there's no absolute question that there was any foul play involved in the baby's death. And obviously there's lots of stories in the media on over the last few days about how young mothers, maybe this person is a young girl, that maybe had this baby alone and the baby died, and she's obviously no support around her, and they're hoping that she can be found. And the baby has been named. It was found on a beach called Bell's Beach in Balbriggan, and the Gardaí have called the baby Bell, and they're hoping that through the appeals that's made locally and in the Dublin area this week, that the mother will come forward, or people that know her will come forward, and she can be given the counselling and support that she needs at this terrible time. Okay, Big Tom and the Four Roads to Glenamedy. Yes, two songs there from Big Tom, and I'm going to leave you tonight with Christy Moore singing The Reel in the Flickering Light. But I just want to thank you for tuning in this week. I know we've got many listeners that tune in from week to week. I meet some of you during the year, but I want to wish everybody a very, very happy Christmas and a prosperous and holy new year for everybody. And let's hope that we're all around this time next year. A special thanks to the Hugh Green Group and to all the team here at Planet FM in Auckland, who facilitate my recording of the program here each week, and to our listeners in Wellington, Kapiti Coast and Christchurch, and all our listeners around the globe. For me, Oliver Lee, I'll say good night, goodbye, and God bless. And again, a very, very happy Christmas to all of you. Take care and look after yourselves.
On his tendon wispy spindles, he was deft and he was nimble. His eyes were scientific, and his dancing was terrific. And the rats and the worms, they made it in, and the nettles in the corner took it in. Oh God, says I, tonight's the night, we'll dance to the reel in the flickering light. Oh, round we go, heel to the toe. Oh God, says I, tonight's the night, we'll dance to the reel in the flickering light. Then he looked at me directly, with a gaze that could dissect me, and he asked me in a whisper, have you got any sisters? Good God Almighty, says I to him, what sort of a man do you think I am? I've only one, she's not your type, she wouldn't dance a reel in the flickering light. Oh, round we go, heel to the toe. I've only one, she's not your type, she wouldn't dance a reel in the flickering light. Says he, does she come from another planet? Has she got a bee in her bonnet? Does she do her daily duties? You never know, we might be suited. And the rats began to laugh, and some of them started shuffling off. We're going to have some fun tonight, getting ready for the reel in the flickering light. Round we go, heel to the toe. We're going to have some fun tonight, getting ready for the reel in the flickering light. See, he had no scruples when I looked into his pupils. They were purple or magenta, like a statue during Lent. I said I'd get her right away. Good man, says he, no, don't delay. We're going to have some fun tonight. Then he flipped his legs in the flickering light. So round we go, heel to the toe. We're going to have some fun tonight. Then he flipped his legs in the flickering light. Then up stepped a red carnation, they gave her an ovation. She was warm and enchanted as she slowly started dancing. And the brave old pigeon peeled his eye, and the nettles and the weeds began to sigh. Daddy long legs said, my oh my, are we ready for the reel in the flickering light? Oh no, we go, heel to the toe. Daddy long legs said, my oh my, are we ready for the reel in the flickering light? She was gentle, she was charming, and they heard him call her darling. He was graceful as a whisper, and his delicate legs of silver. And the rats and the worms were still as mice, and the poor old pigeon said, that's nice. A shimmering veil on the lovely bride, at the dance to the...